The older I get, the smaller my memories. I don't mean that I remember less necessarily, but that I remember differently. Instead of entire seasons or full days or complete events, I remember specific sensory experiences tied to concrete objects. The smell of fresh, unused construction paper on the first day of school. The hard wax surface of a black speckled linoleum floor. The weight of the hard plastic telephone receiver in my 6-year-old hand. Out here in the middle distance, I am experiencing the first sensations of becoming an antique, of watching ways of life I remember well disappear forever. It struck me recently, looking at a photograph of my father talking on the kitchen phone, that my children might never have even dialed one like that. But beyond my own paltry life experience, this past week at my mother's house in South Texas confirmed my fears that when she is gone, with her will go so much that I don't know and can only barely guess at, based on the objects she will leave behind, artifacts of her years on earth from 1928 forward. Mama says, "You better let me know what you want before I'm gone so I can put your name on it." She's being purely practical. She doesn't plan to depart right away, but wants to be prepared when the time comes. Her boldness unsettles her children and grandchildren, who'd rather not imagine a world without her in it. But her modest request sends me on a treasure hunt through her house, not for heirlooms or jewels or pieces of furniture, but for small totems that hold clues to the past, an apron, a teacup, a photograph. I stroll through her earliest photo album, black and white snapshots with white borders and ragged edges, mounted on black paper with embossed sticky corner tabs. Her inscriptions drawn in elegant loops with a fountain pen in white ink. All of these shots, labeled 1944 through 1947, are outdoors, the images soft-edged with natural light. My father and his Navy buddies on a ship in the Sea of Japan, handsome and suntanned, a USO girl smiling on deck, then jumping sideways, her eyes wide, her hands pushing out from her chest as the boys trick her with a live fish. My parents' high school buddies leaning against their tall black cars, their nicknames enshrined on the page, Blackie, Jaybird, Preacher. My parents, as newlyweds, posing at the edge of a field against a row of identical white shingled houses, the lawns new and treeless. My father in his baseball catcher's uniform, a fat mitted hand wrapped around my mother's neck, her arms around his waist, her long silky legs entwined beneath baggy shorts as white as her teeth. By the 1950s, the family photographer has moved indoors, though the shots are far from candid. My mother has kept our little orange booklets of black and white family photos in a box that once held flash bulbs, the box an artifact as surely as the photos themselves, cheerfully posed images of healthy scrubbed children, their birthday cakes, their guileless lives. An inordinate number show us dressed in our pajamas at night when Daddy is at home to operate the camera. Faded color photos, the shade of distressed grass, chronicle the 1960s. The parents more serious and weary. The girls experimenting with hairstyles, rolling their long locks on orange juice cans. From the early 70s, a posed shot of a teenage girl in a long purple sweater and black vinyl boots with buckles. Her hair, unnaturally straightened, falls nearly to her waist. Looking at her, I remember the scratchy waistband and the airless heft of the polyester suede jeans she wears so proudly. My mother can barely hear now, so our most comfortable time together is spent watching old movies on the Turner Network where she can read the dialogue. We watch Night of the Hunter and Grand Hotel and Tarzan with Johnny Weissmuller and Maureen O'Sullivan and the curly-haired kid who played Boy. I know every scene in these movies and wonder if my children have ever or will ever see them. Days pass, and I wander the house like a ghost looking for its shadow. The borders between my mother's life and mine mingle and merge, two streams at a strange confluence in time. I slip a warm cup towel into my suitcase and breathe in the scent of nearly 60 years at table, of grease and soap and dishes I have eaten but never cooked, the scent of a mother's life once removed.
Just a few old memories that slipped in through the door. Though I thought I had closed it so tightly before, I can't understand why it should bother.